I just want to give a little bit of an introduction. Today is the last Sunday in our series in Psalms. Next week, we'll be beginning the book of Romans. And today, Pastor David Liu, is going to be sharing with us God's word from Psalm 14. David's been here a couple of times. And so I want to ask David to go ahead and come up. You can give him a warm welcome.
Take my mask off so you can hear me clearer. My name is David Liu, and my wife Amanda is sitting back there, and my two kids running around, one is sleeping. It's great to be here to meet everyone. So today we are going to study the book of Psalm and Psalm 14. So this is a very interesting psalm. In this psalm, we can see from verse 1, there is a certain person is called here a fool. Most of the time, you just think about like who is this fool? The fool that he claimed there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, where there is none that does good. So who is this fool? When we think about the fool, is it like they don't have knowledge, or is it like they make bad decisions? Who is this fool? And this, when you search this word, fool, in David's life, there's one person, his name is Fool. And do you remember who that is? Right? It's Nabal. And that person, his name is Fool. And his wife said, like, his name really paired with his character. So who is this fool? And when you think about it, and his claim is like, there is no God. He proclaimed that there is no God. How can a person say there is no God? When you say there is no God, nowadays we think about atheism, right? They think, like, oh, they commit, there's no God. But when you studied more, you found out like, that's not something that you can say. Because the concept of God, it means he created everything. He is God. He knows everything. When you say there's no God, that's not possible. Because if you say there's no God, it means that you are God. Because you have studied God so well in his subject, like you study him well and you know, oh, there's no God. That's impossible, right? So when you claim there's no God, that means you are pride. You are proud. You have this pride in your heart that you need to get rid of. There's no God, that proclaim is not real. Or nowadays, when you think about people think there's no God, there's a religion. They say there's no God because they think everyone, through your work, through your good work, you can make it. Make it somewhere in the West, somewhere, you know, in heaven, they are called the Buddhist, right? So like you can accumulate all the credits, and then one day you can be somewhere, or you go with this circle. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're in this bad level. So that's the Buddhist. So who is the one? But Buddhism is like several hundred, 400 years later than this. When David say this, there's no atheists. So like, who is this fool? Like, because when we search the history, Confucius, like it's like at the like 500 some BC, and the Lao Tzu, and even Buddha, right? He is 400 years in this time. At that time, when David said, like, there's fool, he claimed there is no God. There's a time everyone believes in something. Either, like, you believe in this real God who revealed himself to Israel people, and or you believe in some other kind of stones. And maybe there's time when they were worshipping the stone or worshipping those woods. They found, oh, that's not God. but like this from their ancestors, they want to worship. But like these people, when they claim there is no God, only there is this possibility, they are just too proud. Which is even at present, nowadays, when they claim that they don't believe in God or there's no God, you know there's pride inside of them. So they have to step down from the altar. You know, they have to be humble enough to accept this concept of God. So who is this fool? At that time, it's not the people at that time, and everyone is worshiping someone. Who is a fool? So there's another kind of fool. It's like they just deny God. It's like when you are in your marriage, you and your wife, you and your husband, you have a bad relationship, right? You don't want to see him. Even that person is there, he doesn't exist, right? Because this relationship is separate. For us, it's the same. We, after the Garden of Eden, we are separate from God. You know, sometimes we pretend he's not there, and we don't want to see him. We don't want to receive the salvation. We want to do everything by our works. No, I can make it. I have done it. That's a fool. Most of our lives, we just continue to be a fool and to say, you know, don't want to see God, don't want to face God. We just run away from God. And we are turning our face from our Lord. We don't want to see him. There's also like a fool not far from you, standing here. That was one time. I don't think God exists because I was brainwashed well. So like, you know, there's no God. It's like, it's in the textbooks, right? They teach you again and again. So there are many lies we are fed, or something we feed ourselves, feed our heart. There's no God, but that's not true. Because if you proclaim there is no God, that means like you are bigger than God. It's like you can study a rock, you know, turn upside down and see every facet. So you can say something about that, but like when you talk about God, it's something like you cannot say there is no God. Last time when I was walking around HKU, I met a group of students from the United States, and they were there to visit school, learn things, whether they should study there or not. And then there was one student, what was the time I can talk to him a little bit, and I just asked the one student, and said, are you religious? And he said, no, I'm agnostic, which means like he doesn't know. So one frank answer that can answer the question, is there a God? It's like, you can say, I don't know. Because like, you are humble enough. It's like, whenever your knowledge, a circle is getting bigger, you find out like, there are much more that you don't know. The more you know, you find out that the more you don't know. So like, when you say there is no God, it's, as David said, that's a fool. You're fooling yourself. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abundant works, and there is none that does good. When we get our God out of our world, we can do it our way, whatever. I don't want to have all the limitations, I don't want to obey his laws, I just want to do it my way, follow my heart, which is sinful. So when I was thinking about this fool, I thought about this as myself. Before, like, there was time I didn't accept God as God. But now, thank Lord, he has sent so many brothers and sisters around me so they can know God. This was what I learned from this person, which is myself, before I know the Lord. Go on from this verse. We can see in verse 2. When the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men or sons of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God, They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There's none that does good. No, not even one. So when you read this verse, you just fall into this hopeless situation. But no one, when God is searching, when we serve people, we think, oh, we can separate people into two groups. This group, they do good things. That group, they do bad things. Because it's their standard that's like from our heart, you know, we have this standard. But when God is searching among the people, His standard is much higher than us. When He was searching, there's none. It's a hopeless situation. So if we want to go to God's world, then there's something that must be done, right? Because according to His standard, no one is righteous. No one sees God. There's none. That put us under this high standard of God. That's a really hopeless situation. You know, how can we be good with God? Because if we without God, we are in this really bad situation. God will punish us all. He will judge us according to His standard, which like we can never make up to. The Lord is searching, still searching, and then 2,000 years ago, His Son stepped down from heaven. He's still searching. And in Luke, our Lord Jesus said, I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nonetheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Can He find someone like have faith in the Lord? He searched in the whole Israel, not many. And there are several times that He goes outside Israel and He showed mercy to them. And some people, they have this faith in the Lord. But in Jesus' time, none. All the people, even the apostles, the disciples, they run away from the cross. Even though they spend so much time with Him, but they forsake Him. And even Peter, when he faced Jesus, Jesus asked him three times. He rejected Him, and then He has to restore him three times, and He resurrected from death. So the Lord has been searching in history, and none, because after Adam, all people sinned and fall short of God's glory. And the Lord has been searched, there's no hope. So we, everyone after Adam, we are in this hopeless situation. And then we are in this world, and we belong to two groups. Either we are the eater, or we are the eaten. So in this world, there's no hope, because in the following verse, so verse 4, you can see have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up My people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. So in this whole world, we either belong to the eater or belong to the eaten. Then when we read this scripture, this verse, we found out that there is one verse, it's hopeful, kind of hopeful, who eat up My people as they eat bread. Who is the My people? Who is the My people? When we think about the My people, we think it should be the Lord's saying. He searched and then asked questions. All those people, they have this power. Don't they have knowledge? They don't have this knowledge of God. When they don't accept God as God, then the God's rules, as the laws, they don't like want to obey. So they do everything according to their sinful nature. Then another group of people, they just face this kind of persecution or killed. The other day when I was learning about history of the kings, I found out it's all killing, right? This king killed so many people, even like David, the one who wrote this psalm. He is a killer. He killed 1,000 people because like people say, Saul killed 1,000, right? And David killed tens of thousands and more. So all people sin for short of God's glory. Either we belong to the eater or we belong to the eaten. And here, there's my people, the Lord's people, they got eaten. So who are they? Because there's no one seeks for the Lord. So that's so we can, from the my people, can see God's mercy. From God's mercy, he just select a group of people to be his people. But that group of people, you don't think like, they are doing anything good, right? They should be following God's rules to know God and to obey God and glorify God. But in the end, they didn't. They all fail. Even like when you want to search like the word fool, you found like in Moses' time, he asked those, you guys are fool. So that's the time when Moses know people, even though God chose them, and they didn't turn to God, they didn't do anything good, they still sin, they still worship their sinful nature, created some idols, and they worship these. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he was there with God and received the Ten Commandments and all other laws, and then all the people down the hill, they started to worship the idol they created by their own hand, which is the gold calf. So Moses knows no one search for God, search after God, and then even though God said like they are my people, but actually they turned against him. And then when they turned against him, and the Lord gave them this punishment, and they are under this persecution or they are taken by the Gentiles many times. When it's David's time, even David himself, he has to go outside of Israel to stay alive, because there was one is just a search for his life and to kill him. That's the King Saul, right? The first king. And the first king, even though he was anointed by God, and he disobey God, and later he just go to some woman, right, and tell him what's going on, something, but which is not God. He didn't search God. So that's all throughout the history. You can see in Moses' time, people didn't follow God, they don't obey God. Even in David's time, before his own eyes, he can see all the sinful people like himself. And then when he see like the Lord said, my people, and they got eaten because they didn't follow God. So even the persecutors and or the persecuted, the eater or the eaten, they all sin against God. Even though like God showed mercy to his people, they sin against God. Even David experienced this bad thing. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. So that's we call the total depravity of human beings. So all people have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So where is this hope? Where is this hope? So when we see from David his psalms, we find this quite interesting. This hymn, because all the psalms for Hebrew people, they sing, right? They sing these psalms, and then there was one psalm that started from this fool. And then we think about fool. Most of the time, you think, oh, these fools, they don't believe in God and something. But when we studied more, found that there's a part of this fool residing in us. And when we want to face God, we have to humble ourselves, because I don't know. The frank answer that you can answer the question, is there a God? There's a question, maybe, the answer may be like, I don't know, right? You're agnostic and I don't know. Then let's start to learn this revelation from God and who he is, what he wants, and what his standard, and where is our hope? Where is the hope for the poor? So in verse 5, we can see there were they in great fear, for God
is in the generation of the righteous. You have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. So from there we can see the turning point. There they fear, in great fear. When you read this psalm, you can find three words that are repeated. One is the eater, the eat, right? They eat and eat. Here, they fear the fear. In Hebrew, you can see it's fear the fears. That means that they are in great fear. When you think about that fool we just mentioned, Nabal, right? He didn't recognize the anointed king. He didn't see David as the king, and he was so proud, you know. He just used all the bad words on David, and David got so angry. That was time he almost killed him. And then Nabal's wife, you know, came in and begged for his mercy, and finally he himself, even though David didn't kill him, he was frightened to death, right? So that is they were in this great fear, fear of the judgment of the Lord, and even us, sometimes we fear the judgment of the Lord, you know. But where is this hope for us when we sin? And then we can see, because God is in the generation of the righteous. That's why I use KJV, King James Version, because some other versions they translate differently. Here you can see this door, this generation of the righteous, because that's a whole generation. There will be a time the Lord gave his grace to this generation. They can be called righteous. So that's a whole generation. Because throughout history, when you search, every generation, they failed. They failed the Lord. Even though the Lord claimed them as their people, as his people, they still don't want to obey. They just want to turn away from the Lord. So that's the generation of the righteous. There is a hope. There is hope. In the future, there is a time the Lord will be with that generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. So we have these two groups of people. One group of the people is they deny God. They don't want to see God, don't want to face God. They don't want to have anything with God. And there's also this group, they reject the Lord. You know, they know the laws, know everything, because they studied God's revelation and all the laws, but they don't want to obey that. So the two groups, people, either we fall under one group or we fall under another group. And here, even sometimes you have this pity to the poor, but the poor, they also sin against God. So no one is righteous. Everyone falls short of God's glory. But because the Lord is his refuge, so the Lord showed his mercy to him. So God take the active action in this whole history of salvation. Only God, whenever he wants to show his mercy, he shows his mercy. Because the Lord is his refuge. God wants to save some people out of this hopeless situation. So many times we just ask, where is the hope for the poor? Only when Lord takes this active action, then we have this hope. From ourselves, from our works, everything we do, there's no hope. Because we cannot save ourselves by our works, which is other religions to teach you or other people tell you, I'm a good person, I did this, did that, but that's wrong. Because according to God's standard, everyone sinned. So this hope is from the Lord. And it is salvation. In verse 7, we can see, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, where the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad.
So here we see the third group of repetition, a word that is the captivity and brings back. So when you see that word is like, the one is a verb, the other one is a noun. So we have same root, brings back, and the captivity. So that's the word, usually when we use it, it's either we say regret,
As many times you said, like, we regret. Or we use that word as repent. Repent is in Hebrew, it's shuv. It's like you turn back. You turn back. You know, we just said that so many people, they turned their face against the Lord. You know, they don't want to see God. When we turn, or bring back the wishes, the Lord takes this active action. He brings back the captivity of his people. So this group of people is a group of people. They sin against God, right? And then they have been taken captivity. They don't have the freedom. And then there was time they turned against God. And the Lord brings them back. That's the time the Lord showed mercy to them. It's not something that they deserve. It's only God wants to show his mercy to them. So the Lord brings them back. It's not that themselves, like, let's go back. They cannot do it. They don't have this freedom. Even for us, the same thing. It's like we want to go this way, but like our sinful nature take us to another direction. It's not like something we want to do and we can't do it. We can, because we are the sinners. So that's the time on that salvation. That the salvation of the Israel will come out of Zion. In Hebrew, we can see that's a question. Who is the one that comes from the? Who is that person? And who is that salvation come out of Zion? So that's who is that person? So even David himself, he is the anointed king. He has to wait for this person comes out of Zion. So there are many places in Psalms you can see David has been searching for this one. When there was time, he even said, the Lord said to my Lord, right? So he knows there will be this salvation comes out of Zion. So who is this one? So they have been searching for the Messiah, for the one to come to save everyone. Because only God can save. We cannot save anyone. We cannot save ourselves. Not by our works, not by anything, not by our will. So David has been searching, waiting for this salvation to come out. And there will be a time when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. That's what Lord has done for us. So the captivity is the same word, right, as a shuv, return. So there will be a time that Lord, we have sinned against you, and then we just turn to God. We turn to God, and the God turn to us. So we repent, even like when Jesus' time, when our Lord Jesus finally he came, he was searching anyone that seek for God, and also he called people to repentance. He said, like, kingdom heaven is near, therefore repent. Or in the Greek tense, it's like the most important word, he put it in front. It's like, repent, because kingdom heaven is near. The Lord takes this active action of bringing his people to him. That's all from his mercy. There's nothing that we take part into. The only thing we can do is to repent, return. Return from our sinful nature, return to our Lord, and to accept Jesus, this Savior come out of Zion 2,000 years ago, and he is the one that saved us. He takes this active action into our world, and then he died for us on the cross. He is the Savior. And that's the time, in Jesus' time, he said, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So only when they receives this salvation, they see Jesus as who he is, then they can have this rejoice, they can have this gladness. So throughout the history of salvation, we can see the only thing we can do is to return to God, repent. As like this shuv, it's like we turn to God. We know like we sinned, and we repent from there, and we receive this Savior comes out of Zion, receive him as our Savior. So then we have this hope. then we will have this wisdom. We won't be like the fool in the first place. It's like there was time I was. I was a fool and don't know God. And we should know there are so many people out there. They are like me before. And that's why we are still here. Because there was time I think, oh no, how great it will be when we receive Jesus and we are up there, you know. We don't have to suffer anymore. We don't have to do the other things that, now, and we don't have to be slaves to sin or to our sinful nature. But we still have this mission to accomplish. There are so many people out there. They don't know God, or either they don't deny God or they reject God. They know what should be done and they don't want to do it. So in this whole psalm, David, the king, the anointed king, he used to deliver Israel people from the Philistines, from all the enemies of Israel people, and he humbled himself before the Lord. He knows the salvation only comes from above. It's not from ourselves. So if you is still like questions whether God is there, I think one thing you can do is to be humble, to know like maybe I don't know, I'm not atheist, because atheist is not something that you can say, because that means that you're so proud that you can prove that God doesn't live, but wish that you cannot do. So don't be this fool anymore to study this revelation, which everything he did first. He reveals himself to us so that we can know. If he hide himself like hide and seek, right? If he play hide and seek, no one can find him. Only he reveal himself through his revelation. We can know him and know like how we can have this salvation to be saved. If you don't believe in God yet, then that's the time to think. That's the study to humble yourself to His Word. Or you are belong to the other group. Like you know, I know everything, but that's good, and I totally agree. But I don't want to follow. It's too troublesome for me, or it's like I want to have some kind of freedom. So you also need to repent. You need to turn to God to get rid of our sinful nature. There's this time when David himself, as a redeemer of Israel, he found out he need to be saved. And who is this one comes out of Zion? And that's the one came 1,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit just revealed all the truth to David. So he has been searching for the Savior. So we, our heart has been saving, have been searching for this Savior for many, many years. If you don't believe yet, it's the time for you to consider. If you believe, we have to like continuously repent from our sins, because repentance is not something like you've done like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, then everything is set, is done. We are saved already, but not yet, right? Theologically, it's like we are in this process of salvation. At the same time, we continuously, every time we've done anything bad, return to God. We have to return. And that's a lifelong journey. And let's take this journey together and to know God more and to obey. You know, to know is maybe it's only 1%. To do it is harder because we have this sinful nature drag us to the other direction all the time. And that's not something that we can do it by ourselves. We have to do it together. As Lord put us into the church and to walk this walk of faith. Where is this salvation? Where does the salvation come from? It's come from Zion. That's our Lord Jesus. Only He saves. And He takes these active actions, and the same for us. We need to take these active actions. We need to tell people, to teach people about this salvation. It's the only way that we can be saved. We don't don't have to be a fool anymore. We can receive this Savior as our Lord. And genuinely, not just like something we say, it's also our life. We walk this walk. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to David so that when he knows you, he tells us about you. And he tells us like we are the fool. There was a time that we don't receive you as God. And there was a time that we want to reject you. Father, forgive our sins. Show us the truth. And your Holy Spirit continue to work in our heart so that we can be your sons and daughters and to be your faithful servants in this world. Continuously repent and take all the people, our families, friends, and classmates, co-workers, together we walk this walk of faith. Together we repent until you come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.